The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hello, everybody. My name is Avery, and this is Up on Taconic, a podcast exploring everything in and sometimes outside Taconic High School. Alrighty, how are we all doing today? I'm here with Aiden and Dalton from the Multimedia Programming. We're trying out a new style for our podcast. So
it's interesting to try something new.
Yeah, it's great to try something
new. Change up the format.
The format a little bit. Get really into it. We're definitely trying to bring you guys more evolved podcasts, sort of progressing with
cookie cutter.
Yeah, less cookie cutter, progressing with the equipment we've used, progressing with all of the skills that we've learned, really trying to bring this to the next level, and we're going to be advancing it and making it a lot better. All right. So for the first segment, we're going to talk about the quarterly review. Quarterly review, where we review the quarter and more. All right. So, let's talk about how the quarter's been. Now it's finally over, quarter two. What are we looking at? Does anyone want to talk about
it? I don't know what you mean, finally. I feel like the start of quarter one was like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, damn.
I do not know where, what is it, almost 3 months now?
Yeah, we're all done.
We're halfway through the school year
now.
Yeah,
we are halfway through, which sounds crazy to say. We are like
we have
are
a
over
year and a half
point.
Before we graduate.
Shut up.
Nope.
Stop talking.
Year and a half.
No. Stop. Stop it.
It's like a year and 3 months. Actually.
Shushy. Shushy.
Bro doesn't want to feel old.
I don't. I'm older than both of you.
Yeah. And you look the youngest.
Yeah.
Then again, I look 30.
Yeah. You look 30, and he looks like Keanu Reeves.
He's gonna be the Wild Wizard of Oz in a few months. We're gonna be off to see Aiden, the magical wizard, the magical wizard of Taconic.
Sure, I'm gonna learn spell casting.
Yeah, learn how to cast some spells.
Yeah.
Fireball.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, for me personally, the quarter has been like a lot of just sort of trucking through, and it's like been a lot of like it's been a nice flow to it. It's never felt like there's been any like spikes of big moments. It's been like I'd get like some work that I have to finish for like some classes. I'd get it done at like an easy, brisk pace without really many slip-ups, and I would kind of just continuously do that through the quarter, and I had a lot of fun things that I got to do. I mean, like, I got to go to New York this quarter, I believe, which was really fun, and I got a lot of umusume stuff, because of course I did.
There he goes.
Yeah, because of course I did. But so that was awesome. I mean, Christmas during the quarter, so everyone probably, any holiday really, happy holidays. Was happy holidays for any of those who celebrated. Obviously you have the nice season with all the coldness.
Nice season.
Well, for me, I like the cold, except now where degrees
cold,
every day.
Yeah. We've already had enough of this. And then 3.5 yards of snow.
Yeah. Well, what about you guys for the quarter?
I mean, it was kind of the same for me the way it was for you. It was kind of just good soldiering your way through the quarter. I mean, there was some chaos, especially, I mean, you know this with film appreciation for the short films. That got chaotic, especially because, like, all of my group's schedules all conflicted. And the only day that we were actually able to all meet up and film was the day off we had for MLK Day. And then we managed to get most of it in on that day. So it at least went well, but it was there were moments where it was very chaotic trying to figure stuff out, but I mean, otherwise I think it was a pretty run of the mill quarter. I don't think there was anything too like out of the ordinary or like surprising about it. I think it was just kind of like a repeat of quarter one, but a little bit more amped up. But I think definitely now coming into quarter three, it's starting to set in that starting to matter now.
Starting to matter now a little bit more.
Everything's starting to hold a little more weight.
What about you, Dalton?
I made it, I guess.
Bro's like, I did it!
Yeah.
Do you
want a gold star?
I mean, yeah.
I
Don't you want your good noodle
like
star?
Five assignments I had to do over winter break. It was chaos. Yeah. And they were, it wasn't like, oh, here's like a quick math assignment. It was like, here's an essay.
And then here's another essay.
It's like, because they were all like English assignments. Yeah. So I had to write like.
Sorry, Ms. Clegg.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's bad on my part. Ms. Clegg's awesome.
Yeah.
It's just, I cannot focus.
We have D&D today.
Me. Oh, hell yeah.
I love D&D, bro. I need to do that more often, but like.
I probably could show up today. But you
probably could.
I have to work out. Never mind. If I didn't have to work out, I'd go with you guys.
Let's go.
Work out after.
Yeah.
On a D&D.
That's actually possible.
You could do that.
I mean, it depends. Can you guys get me to the Y instead of dropping me home? Anyway.
Maybe,
We're going to on track.
Sidetracked.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like similar for me with like my English work. It was like, I had a lot of, I forget, I had like an entire like essay to write, I think, over the thing. Because I was like, oh, it's for the, I had to write like, I had to create a modern Barbie. Our unit was on Barbie in my English class because I'm in women's literature. So we had to make modern Barbies. So I made a Barbie I called the Forever DM Barbie. And the whole bit is that I took the stereotypes of like non-binary people who love D&D, and I was like, let's make this positive.
Oh God.
I had a lot of fun with that one. That one was fun. I got to write and be like, so queer people love D&D because. Because you can be yourself and not be judged, and it's awesome.
That's how you know we're changing things up.
Yeah.
Because he just uttered that sentence.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I think definitely English got a lot, like, ramped up a lot this quarter compared to first quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you went from, like, why should people read sci-fi to, like, tell us everything about you.
Yeah.
Not really. Not even really. The personal narrative was actually pretty
I have right next to that class, we hear the movies from, like, all the way.
Well, yeah, you could hear them from, like, Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Like, because for some reason, every classroom has the acoustics of, like, the most echoey room ever. Like a B-movie cave.
Yeah.
No, not the B-movie.
Hey, I'm
just a B-movie. No.
Yeah, yeah, that's what will happen. I'll be like, who's dying in that classroom? We'll look over. Yeah. We'll be, like, watching, like, Nine or something.
Yeah. I loved that experience.
We're listening to Nine.
Yeah, that was a great
experience.
Because
we can't see anything because the lights don't turn off.
Yeah, so the whole thing is her room's lights, they just don't turn off and they've been stuck like that since like July.
Oh, that's the same with Miss Gardner's room.
Yeah.
So is it just like the ELA rooms are just like messed up or something?
I have no idea, but literally all we would see from Nine, it would just be like black screen, black screen, black screen, brrr, and it'd just be somebody getting like zapped.
Mm-hmm. The one guy hitting the wonderful place. I was like, yeah. One of the only scenes that we saw.
We saw probably like 2 minutes worth of like the feature length film just because of the fact that everything was like, because the movie itself is really like darkly lit.
Yeah,
it's a very dark themed movie.
Yeah, I've seen it. I saw it.
And then adding on the fact that there was glare from the windows,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that the lights don't turn off, so we couldn't really see the screen all that well.
Oof.
So all we saw was black screen, black screen, black screen. It was funny. It was funny. We got a laugh out of it.
Yeah. Not very educational, though, because half of it was like, here's half of the movie.
Yeah.
Here's half of the visuals.
Here's one crumb of the movie.
Yeah.
One crumb of the movie. Sorry, I got a little silly.
I was a little goofy.
I'm a goofy guy. All right, so you guys have half of your electives, right? Yeah, we all have half of your electives here.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Like coming up or what I had before?
What do you had before?
Film appreciation.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Me too.
We just mentioned that.
What about you, Dalton?
I had gym.
All right. Since we both have the same class, let's let you start. How was gym?
It was gym. That's all I can say. Archery was fun. I liked archery.
Archery is the most fun. I mean, like, yeah. I'm excited.
Did you enjoy shooting a bow in an Odysseus cosplay?
I did. I'm glad that it fell on Halloween.
That sounded like it'd be awesome.
It was.
Whoever
I had to adjust my
string.
Cape,
yeah, that's it. That's all you get. Just whoever can string.
Did you string the bow?
No copyright strikes.
No.
Yeah, no copyright strikes.
Yeah.
I did not string the bow. They strung the bow for me.
You should have just de-strung the bow and then string it yourself.
Yeah, because I know how to do that.
And shoot through 12 axes cleanly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get better.
Get better.
Shoot through 12 axes cleanly.
Yeah, come on, dude.
I mean, I might be able to. I got a pretty good aim with a bow.
Bro might be Odysseus of Ithaca.
He might actually be King Odysseus of Ithaca.
Bro might be Matt Damon.
If I can find 12 axe heads and like a bow and arrow.
I have a 3D printer.
Oh boy.
Yeah, 3D print them.
I can 3D print 12 axe heads.
And then set them up and then have them shoot through all over.
Connect them to like PVC pipes or something.
Yeah.
We test it.
It's like all the min-max stuff they've been doing on Soul Silver. It's like all that stuff. Oh boy. All right, so foam appreciation. This is probably going to give us quite a bit of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about a lot of the movies we watched in second quarter?
I mean, we didn't really watch a whole lot of movies during second quarter because most of our work was on our short films.
True.
I just want to get that done first. We, to like to end it out, I don't know if you did the same, but we watched Gone Girl.
We did too. That was a movie.
That was a movie.
That was indeed
one
a film.
Of the movies of
that
all
was
time.
A film of all time.
That was a work of cinematography. Yeah. That ending was terrible. I despised that ending.
I didn't
like it.
So I talked about this one after we had finished it. Unfulfilling endings are like a really hard thing to like.
Especially when they don't have a sequel.
Yeah, like unfulfilling endings are really hard
that
to
movie
write.
Came out in like 2013, I think.
Yeah, it did. It was like super early 2010s.
Yeah, it was early 2010s at least.
So,
and then there's just no sequel.
I think it was 2015 actually.
Oh yeah.
Probably mid.
Might have been later.
2010s.
I know the either the director or
it's the book author was like, I might write a sequel.
They were saying like,
spoiler warning.
I wouldn't mind like revisiting the characters and seeing where they go from, like from the ending of the movie.
The annoying part is it was a thriller, but like me and Via predicted everything, so it was just like,
well, yeah, because like, because you're seeing both sides, so you're kind of able to like, you're able to guess.
Even before we got to the big halfway twist, we were like, she seems a little sus. She seems a little sus.
Well, yeah, because she seems a little too, like, serial killery the way she was. Like, she had a lot of... She was very methodical.
Yeah.
With her plans. Yeah. Amy was very methodical.
You don't like.
So, it already was kind of giving the idea that maybe this isn't the way it was chalked up to be at the beginning. I liked the parallels. I liked that, but I feel like the ending kind of fell flatter than it was than the rest of the movie was hyping it up to be. Because, like, I think the rest of the movie was better than the ending. But even then, I don't think that's a very hot take. I think that's probably a lukewarm take at its, like, most burning temperature. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm rambling.
Yeah, let's talk about the short film.
I already did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you already did.
How did your experience go?
How
with
did ours
that?
Go? All right. That so, was... my short film was an experience to film. So, the funniest part is, you know how you had to come up with ideas with your group? Of
yeah.
Like, what are the three ideas that you're coming up with?
Yeah, you like your pitch.
Mine. Yeah. The one we picked was mine. I came up with mine in like 5 seconds. I was like, wouldn't it be cool if we did like a chess tournament? Like sports anime kind of style movie.
Oh god.
Where they do all the dumb like inner monologues
and
stuff.
Yeah.
But we also do this really fun gimmick where every time the chess pieces battle, it's like Fire Emblem where they like zoom into the battle and you see two actual people like sword fighting. And I thought that was a neat idea. So that's what we did. And everyone else's idea was like well thought out. And mine was like 5 seconds. We decided that would be the best one to go with.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of funny. Other than that, it was a great time to film. Thankfully, I didn't have to film that much outside of school. There was really only one session that we had to film outside of school where I had to hang out with Via and Kira, and we had to do like all of the outside sword fighting scenes because obvious. But
you
other than that,
like,
we were able to
plastic or foam swords to a school.
Yeah, so like we had to. It did mess up my sword really bad. My foam sword, it messed it up real bad. There are a lot of scuffs on it now.
Yeah,
and I broke the hilt of Via's.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but it came out. We got a really nice shot out of it, at least.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. I broke metal. I'm so strong.
Yeah.
Because it's like a metal wire in the hilt.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
I snapped it in half for a shot. It came out really good. But yeah, that was a lot of fun to make. I had a great time with that. Enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. Ours was a little hectic because, like I said before, all of our schedules were conflicting, so... And also all of our, like, or at least most of our film, aside from maybe a minute and a half to 2 minutes of it out of the 8 that it was supposed to be, was filmed outside of school because it was supposed to be. The story was this wasn't my idea, but I think it was basically this guy and his group of friends were like going out, and then I believe it took place either like Christmas Eve or like Christmas Day, or like a little before that, probably like the like in terms of like schooling, considering like the first scenes took place inside school, it was probably like the last day before winter break.
Yeah,
and then but by the end, the main character's given like a Christmas present, and it turns out that the main character has schizophrenia, and some of the people that they were like, I don't know how to really describe it, but I think three out of the five people they were like with weren't real. They were apparitions. They didn't actually like exist.
Oh, spooky.
Yeah. So, the whole time, like the doctor and the nurse are just pretending to be like his friends rather than people that are trying to give him like the care he needs, because he's been having these episodes a lot, like for a long time. So all of it, pretty much all of it, had to take place outside of school, and then everybody's schedule was conflicting. We had one day that we could all actually meet up.
Did you film the entire thing on like one day?
We filmed the entire thing in one night.
That's crazy.
Well, most of it. There was a pretty big like asterisk there.
I was like, "What are you doing today?" You're like, "Oh, we're waiting to film outside of school." So
yeah,
play Uno.
Yeah, I think that might literally be what happened. But yeah, we all met up, and within like a couple hours, we had already filmed most of it. Because I mean, we only needed 8 minutes, and we had I think five or six, like five and a half ish.
All right. Well, yeah. Are you guys excited to get onto the new quarter with a fresh start?
Yeah. I'm excited to see what Jim will be able to do for me.
All right.
I got acting one, so I'm glad that I finally have like a theater class.
Yeah, you get to act
for the first time in my life.
It's fun. I hope you have fun with it.
I might try it senior year, some sort of like acting or theater.
Yep. So on to Julian with our next segment.
Coming to a theater near you, The Interview.
Thanks, Avery. This segment is called The Interview, and today I'm with Noe, Brittany, and Raylene talking about air quality. Let's get started.
First question for all of you is, what is air quality generally? Let's start with Noe.
So air quality in the public health sense, it has a lot to do with the way that we take care of our health. One important thing that we have to consider when we're talking about vaping and air quality is that vapes tend to throw little like droplets or aerosols into the air, and all these have different chemical components that affect not only the health of the person that is vaping, but also the people that surround them. And more so when they are in a very enclosed space.
Yeah, and as Noe and I both work at Berkshire Regional Planning Commission, I have a project called Berkshire Clean Air Project. It's going to launch 62 sensors across the Berkshires. And this is mostly because we only have two regulatory air monitors and for the whole county. So we don't really have enough information to tell us how good or bad the air is. So we're very excited to get people to kind of be able to check on the air quality. But in short, as Julian said, air quality is pretty much just the stuff in the air. And we tend to want to keep an eye on it because it can be a whole mix of pollutants. It can affect our bodies, our minds. And I think what some people don't really realize is that air quality is actually broken out into two different types. We have outdoor air, which is monitored by the EPA. We have the Clean Air Act, which is one of our biggest legislations in the country that really helped improve public health across, you know, infant mortality and heart risk and asthma. We have much cleaner air than we did in the 70s. But we do have indoor air, and indoor air is not regulated, and that can be a little bit concerning, especially if we have people vaping or smoking inside. We have scented candles. or even if you put in like new carpet or new furniture that can create what we call off-gassing. So we're kind of exposing ourselves to everyday harmful chemicals in small amounts, but over time it can become a compounding issue, especially with household cleaners. So we always try to get people to not just think about outdoor air, like when we see wildfire smoke or vehicle emissions or pollutions, but we try to think about indoor air as well. What is your connection with air quality? Because I know Noe and I have been coming to Deconinck for the last couple of weeks. We wanted to make sure we could talk about air quality from that student-teen perspective. And what we're really excited about with this podcast is to try to elevate that student voice. And Raylene and I have had many conversations about air quality. And in fact, my first question to her was, what do you think about with air quality? Especially like last summer with the wildfire smoke.
With the wildfire smoke, I used to have asthma at a really young age. And so here, my breathing was really off. And I remember just trying to leave my house. And it was very difficult because of the fact that with how all of it was spreading out towards us, it made it harder for me to take in the air, let alone exhale it, because it was just getting stuck in my lungs, essentially, a little suffocating, I guess.
Yeah, and I think when you have asthma, or even if you don't have a formal diagnosis of asthma, you can definitely feel those impacts. And I talked with a lot of other Deconinck students, and the wildfire smoke is a great way for us to kind of think about air pollution because it was so visible for us, and that can be very alarming for us in the Berkshires because we did have a wildfire last year, but a lot of our wildfire smoke is not coming from anywhere in the region. It's actually coming from across the country, California, as Julian had mentioned, but also Canadian wildfires burned for about 3 months, which is a new world record. So things we have to think about as climate change. But we started talking with students, and they all experienced some sort of impact, whether it was just, maybe headaches and dizziness. But I think the most important thing is really starting to be in tune to the air around us, because a lot of it you cannot see.
So I have to agree, because some of the air that you breathe, depending on what's in the air and what you breathe, it can affect a lot of things in your body. For example, lungs, your heart, because your heart needs the air from the lungs. If it's not clean enough, then it doesn't give you the healthy air that you need.
Yeah, exactly. And what we call it is the cardiovascular respiratory response. So if your lungs are struggling to work hard to get you clean oxygen, your heart has to pump harder to make your lungs work harder. And so it starts to become a domino effect. And if you have asthma or any kind of pre-existing conditions, you're what we call more vulnerable to it. So you're going to be experiencing any kind of impact from localized pollution, whether it's maybe walking down a busy road and there's a lot of traffic, or you walk into your friend's house and they have a lot of scented candles. Maybe you're like, this is giving me a headache and I'm not, I can feel my chest tightening because I can't breathe as well. So the body can definitely respond. And I think the important part is making sure we don't dismiss those cues, that we listen to our bodies.
We're talking about folks that might be healthy or that might have any type of health condition. But imagine adding on to that, if you're vaping, you're smoking, that complicates things even worse, and it makes things just worse altogether. There's lots of other pollutants that once they're inhaled, they stay within your lungs, specifically, those chemical components that cause cancer. And you might not see the health effects right then and there, but later on, you will see them, and, you might have other complications other than heart conditions or respiratory conditions that might be stemmed from the inhaling of those chemicals through vapes and things like that.
Yeah, they're starting to show more and more research on longer trends. So they started with maybe 1 year to 5 years. Now they're looking at 10 to 20 years, because as time goes on, they're noticing those impacts are much more significant. And this is also, of course, with secondhand smoke exposure and even thirdhand smoke exposure, which is something I just recently learned about. So people who, vape or smoke indoors, especially, it's increasing the risk of other people around them, what we call their breathing rights, right? Making sure everyone has the right to have clean, breathable air.
Thank you all for listening. Now, back to you, Avery.
All right, and we're back. Just to recap, we've done a review of the quarter, as well as had an interview with Julian from the Yab Group. Now, on to culinary. Bringing you out of your comfort zone on Offsite Insight. Welcome to Offsite Insight, the segment of our podcast that explores everything outside of school. So I am here with Silas and Eli, and if I'm correct, Culinary went on a field trip recently.
Sí, señor.
Mm-hmm. So let's start off with the simplest question. Where was this field trip to?
Johnson and Wales, Rhode Island.
Yes.
So let's keep that going. So what exactly did you guys do there, or what were you there to do?
We went on a tour exploring, like, kind of all the parts of the school, academic, and also stuff that, like, relates to our shop, like the culinary ones, but we also got to learn about all the other clubs, other majors and stuff like that, which was really nice because, like, just because we are in culinary doesn't mean that's all we want to do, you know?
Pretty much what Silas said, we just went to go explore all the things that they had, and then we went to go eat to try out their food.
Was the food good?
Yeah. But I mean, like, the garlic knots were good. The pizza was mediocre, and the burger was good, but you can't really mess up a burger. And if it's sad if you do.
Keeping it real and up on Taconic, you know?
Yep.
You know, that's how we do it. All right, so you guys mentioned, like, majors and extra stuff. Could you guys explain or elaborate on a little bit of that?
There's two campuses. One side is, like, just the culinary stuff. Some of the culinary stuff is on the other campus, too. But, like, that's more, like, academics. Like, if you want a graphic design, business, blah, blah, blah.
Or the crime thing?
Huh? Crime? Oh, crime, yeah. But in the culinary, you're not just learning about, like, food. You're also learning about alcohol. And, yeah, you can't really drink the alcohol unless it's, like, 1.5 ounces, right?
Yeah, it was 1.5 ounces.
Yeah, and the alcohol bottles that they have to make the drinks, it's not actual alcohol. Well, some of them are. But the ones that they're using in the class wasn't actually alcohol, right?
No, the ones they had in the class were real. The ones on display were, like, how it's supposed to look and, like, for professionalism and stuff.
That, yeah. And then you get to learn about different cheeses. Awesome, because cheese is awesome. Class. God, I wanted to try that cheese.
Was the best part of the field trip eating the cheese?
We didn't get to eat.
You didn't get to eat the cheese?
We didn't even get to have, like, any of the food that they were making there either, besides the one at the other campus.
Hearing a lot about this, it seems like there's a lot more to this school than just, like, the culinary expertise of it and a lot more
there's
about,
so
like,
many
anything
details.
Else.
Yeah,
really cool.
It's
sorry for interrupting.
Mainly
no, it's fine.
Learned,
love to hear more
like,
about
known
it.
For, like, culinary, but, like, there's a lot more stuff to explore if you don't want to just do culinary. Like, yeah. I want to do tattooing and possibly bartending, but, like, and they have, like, graphic design. I'm not sure if they have, like, a full-on drawing class, but, like, I know that some people were, like, painting there. Because when we went to the culinary place, there was, like, awesome paintings, bro. They were so good. It was art. But, yeah. Oh.
So you seemed you wanted to explain a little bit more on what they did.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff.
Yeah. Like I was saying, there was, there's a bunch more stuff than just basic culinary. And I'm not hating on our culinary program, obviously. I mean, it's a high school. There's not much we can do. But, like, they go into a bunch of insane details and different specific stuff. Like, say you want to be more on the bakery and pastry side, you can do that. You want to be on the more entrepreneur side, you can do that while also cooking. Or you just want to cook, that's fine. But even if you don't want any of those majors, they're still electives you can take. Dude, there was, like, a chocolate and, like, did you guys ever, like, scroll on Netflix or, like, any channel and you would see, like, these people making insane designs out of sugar, chocolate, stuff
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, even my mom does
they
that
They had
sometimes.
Classes for that. Ooh. And it's so cool. Like, the room is, like, this exact temperature 24/7 that you get to work with. And honestly, I have so many pictures of it. It was so cool, dude.
Like the hyper-realistic cakes, people.
Well, not hyper-realistic, but super creative and stuff. And some of them are, like, gravity-defying. There were, like, this really creative cake that was kind of like one of those churches in Italy and stuff like that. Like, it was super detailed and stuff like that. And, like, the sugar ones and stuff like that. I mean, it wasn't super realistic, but, like, the fact that it was made with sugar, it's just, like, dang. Insane.
They were so pretty.
Yeah.
And they made stuff with bread, too. awesome bread.
I would love to learn more about what they did with the bread.
Like,
I love bread.
It was more decoration than taste hiking. But either way, it was still cool. And the bread probably tasted good.
Well, no, not because it was out the for, girl like, said that the bread didn't taste good because they put like certain stuff into it.
Oh, yeah, because so, like I said, it was for more decoration. Yeah.
Than, like, so they have a lot of baking that's more like artistry baking rather mm-hmm. than just like...
Well, yeah, because that stuff is kind of like an art and stuff. Because it's not... Everyone says it is science, but it's also like a huge art thing too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that's what my mom always says is she loves baking for the art of it more than just like... Oh, I like cookies. They taste good. So she's so like I'm used to people being like, I love to do this thing for the artistry. It was the same for her when talking about like making drinks, like you guys mentioned with like the alcohol related classes and courses or whatever they had.
They had a really cool test for it too. Like I don't know if it was your final or like it was some kind of exam for it. You have to make 12 drinks in 12 minutes, and they have to be like creative and super. Like, I don't know how to explain it. God, I'm stupid.
That's fine.
Like, it's like their labs, not the
yeah, final. Like labs and stuff like that. And it like had, well, it is kind of like sciencey labs and stuff like that. Like, say you wanted to make like, you got to make a pomegranate pina colada drink or something like
me
that.
Me making
like
the next element so I can make the next cocktail.
Honestly, that's how it was. It was super cool.
That sounds really dope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get to learn like, a bunch of stuff like what certain foods go with this certain drink.
Yeah, and like the cheese and wine taste.
So you get to learn like pairings.
Well, if you go there, yes.
Yeah, if you go there, yeah.
We didn't like get to learn what was going on. We got to learn what was going on in the classes. We didn't get to experience it.
But like, if you want to learn this more professionally, you got to go here, buddy. This is your free trial.
Oh, also, they had a fine dining class, didn't they? Like, they taught you how to, like, plate stuff nicely.
Yeah, that was... Yeah. I probably won't take that one, Heike.
Yeah.
You can use that one to, like, up your game in the Epicurean room.
Yeah. Think of, like... those really weird Michelin restaurants where they give you like a tiny piece of pudding and then a flour on top of it.
You're paying for an Instagram picture. You're not paying for a meal.
Yeah. I mean, it's still cool to learn about because it definitely looks cool, but it's like, I don't want to spend money on that.
It depends on how you view food, definitely. Because like for me, as a certified gym bro, it's like fuel. Like it's just like, that's what it is. But I will always appreciate the artistry of like meal making and stuff like that. So it's still super cool to like learn about and see.
Yeah.
Don't they cut their own meat too? They learn about that.
Yeah, that was also one of the classes and stuff. Like, they also had this other cool class. It's like, I don't want to sound mean, but like, you know how in a lot of culinary things they'll just teach you one culture, usually like European or something like that. They had a whole like, I don't know if it was a separate class or if it was like a segment of the major itself, but like international courses, and I mean like everything, not just like American international. Like, I mean stuff from like China. Vietnam and like other stuff
Asia,
like Asia and stuff.
I love
like that. And
all
African
different
food.
Kinds of Asian cooking. So
yeah, so they didn't even just have that because like usually they also do just teach like Asian or something like that. And I mean, no shade, Asian food is amazing, but like so are other cultures' food.
Yeah, they teach like
they teach everything. Dude.
Show Asian, the love.
Yeah,
German, like any international food. Like 1 week will be this food, and then the next week will be a different food from somewhere else. And they have clubs. It was a cooking with Asia. Where I'm pretty sure they just cook exclusively Asian food. And anyone can make their own club if they wanted to. You just need four or more people and then the counselor people.
That's sick.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it was. Like, just fun little sidetrack. My like older brother, when he used to go to town, he's the one who made the video game club. Like, that was his thing. So it seems pretty similar to where you can sort of like just group up with people. I don't think unionize would be the best word, but kind of like that, where you just get people and you're just like, I'm going to do the thing. And then everyone's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like this was like definitely like a very high tiered form of advanced education that focused primarily on like food. Let's put it that way in a more general term.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's definitely more stuff at the college and stuff, but you know, like since we're culinary kids and it was a culinary field trip, that's mainly what we learned.
Yeah.
Did you guys get like more sneak peeks on like anything else that wasn't just... food or
kind of? I mean, like they toured us around outside and stuff like that, and was like, hey, this is where this building is. Like, that's the crime thing I mentioned. Like, it was crime documentation or something like that. Like, that's what this building is for. That's what this building is for. Da 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 da. We went into a couple of them, but like we didn't really fully explain stuff, and there were classes, so we did have to be quiet and stuff because you know, it is still school.
Yeah. Like at that, I mean, I went to like MCLA. Didn't we go to MCLA and like read or whatever it was? For like something
I skipped that day.
You skipped that? I don't blame you. Yeah, it was boring. But yeah, like going to colleges has been like a big thing for especially stuff like this, and it's really cool to hear about it, especially from like a trade school where you don't hear advanced education talked about too much.
Yeah,
like we didn't we heard about like something in VPA where it was like some big school that teach, like it was a huge film school that teach you about different things. And like some of our past students have gone to colleges like Ithaca and stuff like that. But yeah, it's been pretty sparse with advanced education. So it's really cool to hear you guys sort of talk about that and have that experience to be like, oh, I know about more advanced education routes for myself. And we're really getting more experienced and getting hands-on sort of learning to be like, this is what I want to do after high school or whatever that be.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. And we're back from Offsite Insight, an interview with the culinary students. So talking more about like field trips for a little bit, we should go on more, right?
Agree.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'd definitely be, I think field trips are definitely really good, especially for like a vocational school like ours.
Yeah.
Having the ability to actually go out and see what you're studying can lead to, the kind of schools or careers that those field trips allow you to fully see after getting the like baseline knowledge that you get from the shop.
Yeah, especially going to PCTV. Like, that was really cool. I want to see more stuff like that.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And now to our next talking point.
This is the moment you've all been waiting for. Media Mayhem!
All right. Now the fun begins. Yeah. So,
here we go. God.
What have y'all been watching, reading, playing?
6 hours of Umu Musume.
No, don't worry.
Not yet? Or is it going to be 6 hours of Kamen Rider?
It's going to be 6 hours of Kamen Rider.
No!
Yeah. All right, let's let you guys go first. What have you guys been up to with the stuff you've been engaging with?
I mean, looking forward to, not really like fully seen yet because it's still in the process of making. You're probably know where I'm going with this. Ilium,
yeah.
So, for people that don't know, there's this guy named Jorge Rivera Arons who made a musical based on the... It's not a tragedy. I wouldn't say
it is. It's a Greek tragedy. It is a Greek tragedy.
Okay. A Greek epic. Call it that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's what it is.
A Greek epic.
A Greek epic called The Odyssey, and it was called Epic the Musical. And it was just based on the story of Odysseus and him and his 20-year voyage to get back home. Now he is making...
Well, his
10-year
voyage, because the Battle of Troy took 10
years. Yeah, but
so
I mean, Ilium's
the first 10.
Well, I mean,
and then a bit beforehand.
Yeah. And then he's currently making a prequel musical?
Yeah, prequel.
prequel called Ilium, which I think is going to lead up probably to...
I'm assuming it's going to lead up to like the beginning of Epic, because that starts at the end.
Yeah.
Where the end of the Iliad would be.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right, so I still like the theory that everybody's saying that they're going to end off Ilium with the motif of the horse and the infant. I really hope they do that. I really hope they do that because
it's
a
missed opportunity if they don't.
Yeah, it'd be a really fun callback.
Especially if you're listening to them both together, it just
You put both of them, or it just ends with like the I don't know how to describe it, like the. The
sounds of them getting into a wooden horse.
No, but I mean it, like, you know how right before the motif in Horse and the Infinite does like the... If it ended with that and then it transitions perfectly into, that could be awesome, because then you could literally play them both in full.
What about you, Dolan? You also just excited for Ilium?
Very.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm a huge Greek nerd, and I love musicals, so this is just, it's the best of both worlds. And
it's also really nice, like... considering the three of us, I'm assuming you included, discovered Epic like after it was already mostly created.
I did.
I got there at Vengeance.
Right,
like
before Vengeance.
Or Wisdom. Like Wisdom or Vengeance.
Yeah.
I think Vengeance came out like right after I actually.
I think I had heard of it before because I think I originally heard it through TikTok. I think somewhere, I think the Cyclops Saga, I heard something from there. But it's really nice to actually see it being made in real time, like how Ilium is like the snippet of Pride of Troy, and I think what people are coining In Another Life.
Mm, yeah.
Those are really cool. And it's really cool to see the process in real time rather than trying to like go back for what was being made for Epic.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I really hope, I know Jorge said that things are subject to change. If things are subject to change, even drastically, I really hope Pride of Troy stays like the same.
Yeah.
Because that snippet is so good. It's so good.
I can't wait. Like,
he's gonna be like, this is not to my quality standard, and then make a new one.
Yeah,
even better. The snippets that he's released so far already give me chills.
Yeah,
and those are like barely produced compared to like what he's put out.
It's literally like the instrumental.
Yeah, it's like the instrumental and like just him singing the vocals.
Yeah,
this is a post Ithaca saga, Jorge. Let's be real.
Like, yeah, this is Jorge with the entirety of Epic behind his belt. Like, he knows what he's doing now.
Yeah,
he fully knows. He's got an entire musical under his belt, and he's going for another one.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ilium ends up better than Epic.
Yeah, I would hope.
Like, that's the nostalgia factor. Like, even if it was as good, I think the nostalgia factor of Epic would win it. But if it's better,
it'll be better.
Yeah.
I feel like the end of Ilium will definitely at least be better than the start of Epic.
Yes, I definitely think that.
Because at that time, he will have, like, basically two full musicals under his belt. Compared to when he started out. He was still good when he started out.
Oh, yeah.
He made an entire musical before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, like, still, he has, like, a lot more practice.
Yeah.
Jinx. We both said yeah. I'm just saying.
That was...
All right.
I think a little unnecessary.
Iron lung.
Here we... All right!
Lungmark genuinely.
No!
Lungmark genuinely.
Yep. I thought you were going to go in the direction of 6 hours of Kamen Rider, but I will gladly
sidetrack
into Iron Lung. Yeah.
So
I still need to watch it.
All right. Spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers. Well, okay. No. Okay, I need to watch the movie itself. I do know like the or a good amount of the
You've
lore
seen
of
the
Iron
game.
Lung. But yeah, I saw Markiplier's playthrough of it.
Yeah. I'm vice versa. I saw the movie. I have not watched the game.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the game, and then I saw the movie, and I loved the movie.
Yeah,
the movie was good. It was a little confusing for me.
Skill issue.
But that's also because you
took,
didn't
like,
know the lore.
Five bathroom breaks as well, so I probably missed a couple. Of
yeah,
and it's that's also probably because you didn't have like the initial lore of knowing the game.
I literally went in there and I'm just like, it's Markiplier. That's all I know.
Yeah,
I like Markiplier.
And like
Markiplier and horror movie.
Two like
cosmic horror.
Three people I know.
Jacksepticeye is in that movie.
It's like Markiplier, Jacksepticeye, and Elsie Lovelock.
Yeah, it's Elsie Lovelock.
Those are the three people I know.
Markiplier, Jacksepticeye, and Uzi Dorman.
Uzi Dorman.
That's such a funny, like, trio. Because all I'm imagining is literally
YouTuber,
just...
YouTuber.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I'm imagining is just them two next to each other, and then just Uzi.
I forget the waistline.
Yeah.
I forget what game I was playing. I think I was either watching a show or I was playing a game, and I was like, Lizzie Freeman's in this? It was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, why is she here? I think it was like...
We're gonna get so sidetracked if we go in that direction.
All right.
Why do they call it an oven?
Nope.
Yeah.
So, 6 hours of Kamen Rider.
So,
everyone in their mother and the kitchen sink need to watch Kamen Rider Double, okay? Kamen Rider Double is so good.
All right, so I'm gonna show my kitchen sink Kamen Rider and then not watch it myself.
Why?
I'm gonna play it on my phone and just point the phone directly into my sink.
So I will show my ice tray Kamen Rider. How about that?
I mean, the ice tray is gonna know peak, but you aren't. The ice tray will know Elite Ball and you won't. That's not my fault.
What does he even do?
But yeah, it's basically Kamen Rider Double is about this hard-boiled detective. Hard-boiled, in quotes, because they constantly say he's half-boiled. Because he's actually quite an emotional guy who fights for the people of his city, Futo, a lot. So his whole thing is he works with this other detective, Philip, not Dubad, who...
Why no Dubad?
Philip, no last name given.
Yeah.
Who has the knowledge of everything in the world. So... They work
Google over here? I don't know.
Yeah, but he doesn't leave the room. He's too busy studying all the time. So basically, Shotaro goes out and does everything, like all of the information gathering and intel gathering, and then comes back and is like, yo, Philip, I need you, bro. And then he gives him the keyword.
Please, Philip, I need this.
Please, Philip, I need this. And then Philip is like, okay, buddy. And then he goes into the Gaia library, which is like where he keeps all his knowledge, and he finds the thing, and he's like, okay, I've got it. I know how to stop the evildoers. And then they go, and then they transform into Kamen Rider Double, where basically their consciousnesses become one, and they become a superhero, kind of like a Power Ranger, if anyone out there knows what Power Rangers is.
to like fight crime and in evildoers, and it's really, really good.
Flamboyant Batman.
Kind of. I just love Japanese superheroes. They're really cool.
Yeah.
I grew up with Power Rangers, so it was just like the natural evolution of things. It's like, well, I have Power Rangers. Instead of watching five guys in suits beat up one dude, how about I watch one really powerful guy in a suit beat up the dude? Like, sure.
But they all merge into one person, and that person is Kamen Rider.
That person, the Kamen Rider. Yeah.
John Kamen Rider.
John Kamen Rider is probably Kamen Rider Ichigo. He's like the first one. Watch Kamen Rider, Shin Kamen Rider. That one's the easiest one to get into it. That one makes it easy to get into Kamen Rider.
I just don't want to watch Kamen Rider at all.
It's so good, bro. You like Marvel. You like superheroes.
Okay, that is one, such an overestimation because Marvel kind of sucks now.
No, okay, fair enough.
Has sucked from like...
Basically,
Endgame to Thunderbolts.
Doomsday is them going, please, I need this.
No, it's like Endgame to Deadpool and Wolverine.
Well, yeah.
Deadpool and Wolverine. Well, I mean, like, in the main. Were, like, really good.
I mean, in, like, the main timeline, because Deadpool's kind of, like, doing his own thing.
Well, no, he's in the main timeline now.
Well, yeah.
He is now. There's one movie that's in the MCU, and it's Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's, like, the only one that's MCU.
Yeah.
Because, because he legitimately says, welcome to the MCU. Yeah. Deadpool Wolverine is an MCU film. But, yeah, so it's just like, Kamen Rider's better than what Marvel's been doing right now. I'm telling you, bro.
Well, that's a very low bar.
Yeah, that bar is underground.
But do you want to see some dude avoid, like, the main Kamen Rider's attack by doing the worm?
Yeah, and then he does it again and gets shot and killed immediately.
That's true. That is exactly what happens in Deets. That is exactly what happens. But it's awesome when you're like, oh, my God, the bad guy's been found out. I can't wait for them to get your comeuppance. And then it goes, Cyclone. Joker, and then they do the henshin, and it's awesome. It's so cool. But yeah, watch Kamen Rider. It is so good.
I don't wanna.
All right. Well, thanks to Aiden and Dalton for joining me today, as well as Julian and his Yap group, Eli and Silas for coming into the podcast for their respective segments. We hope you all have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time on Up on Skonic. This has been Up on Taconic, recorded at Taconic TV Studios. For more for us, check out Taconic TV on YouTube. We hope you have a good day, and we'll see you next time on Up on Taconic.